मज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चाक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनुमापि सच्चिपुत्रमत्रा स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरूपुरीं मथुरीं गोष्ठावतीं राधाकुन्दं गिरिवरं महोराधिकमधावसम्। प्राप्तु यस्या प्रतीत्तकृपाया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानं पवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। निखिलाश्रुतिमौलिरत्नमालदिति निराजितापदपङ्कजन्त आजी मुक्तकुलैरुपश्यामनं परितस्त्वं हरिणं संश्रयामि। अनारपितचरीं चिरात् करुणयावतीर्णाकलौ समार्पयितुमुन्नतोष्फलरासं स्वभक्तिश्रियं हरिपुरतसुन्दराद्युतिकदम्बसन्दीपिता सदा हृदये खन्दरे स्फुरतो वासचिनन्दनः। जानुलम्बिता भुजौ कनकावदतो सङ्कीर्तनैकपितरो कमलायतक्षु विश्वाम्बरुद्वियावरुजुगधर्मपालु वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारु। लादिनीशक्तिस्वरूपाय गौरङ्गसुहृदाय च भक्तशक्तिप्रदनाय गदाधर नमोऽस्तु ते। हे कृष्णकरुणसिन्धुदीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। राधे वृन्दवनाधीशे करुणामृतवाहिनि कृपया निजपादब्जादस्यन्मयं प्रदीयतम्। भक्त्यविहीनायपराधलक्षये क्षिप्तश्चाकमादितरङ्गमादे कृपामयि त्वं शरणं प्रपानं वृन्देन्मस्ते चरणारविन्दम्। वृन्देन्मस्ते चरणारविन्दम्। सचिनंदन गौर हरि की जय। श्री हरि नाम प्रभु की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद गुड मॉर्निंग टू ऑल अगेन। प्रणाम वेलकम। एंड समहाउ टुडे वी आर मोर काइंड ऑफ ऑफिशियली स्टार्टिंग आवर सीरीज ऑफ शेयरिंग्स इन आवर UK retreat part two, second year. Yesterday we had a brief introduction, reintroduction, welcoming to each one of us, and today we are more officially starting with a series of sharings. And today, in particular, as I told you yesterday, I was thinking about starting taking advantage of the particular entry point that is happening today, since we are celebrating a triple disappearance day, so to say. We call it Tirubhav Mahotsav, celebrating, although it may sound strange for some people, you're celebrating someone's death, but we are not considering that, no? As Bhaktivinoda Thakur will say, Vaishnavas die to live. So the passing of great souls is a great teaching for each one of us, how to live a life in such a way that when you quote-unquote die, is only to live more and more, right? That's what Krishna says in the Gita, yam yam bhavishmaram varam, according to how you live, according to the state of consciousness you have when you leave your body, that situation you will attain. But we should add to that verse like a footnote, which is according to how you live your life, that will be the way you will pass, basically, no? Because if not, we will enter into a little bit type of gambling. Or maybe if I casually, at the very end, my last breath, I think about Krishna, or the opposite could be, what if I'm trying to think about Krishna and the very my last breath, A frog appears in front of me, and I think of the frog, and I'm done for the next birth. No, it's not the point of the birth. The point is the way you live your life, that becomes somehow the way you embrace the transition to the next chapter, right? So when we speak about great personalities and celebrating their death, so to say, we are celebrating their life, actually, that becomes somehow summarized or encapsulated in that moment of transition to the, we will say, Nitya Lila Pravishta, the entrance into the eternal play of the absolute. So today we have three of those personalities in terms of celebration of disappearance. Today also we're having a more, how to say, theological cross-pollination level. We are celebrating the feast of Saint Francis. So today's appearance day of Saint Francis of Assisi. And today we are celebrating the disappearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So I try to, 1 second, somehow. So I thought it would be very auspicious to begin trying to gather some dust from the feet of these personalities to begin our retreat with all those blessings. And we will also try to weave sharings about their lives and teachings in connection to some of the themes of evolution and divine love, since this retreat this year will revolve around some of the points shared in evolution and divine love. Yes, last year we did it with radical personalism. This year we have our Evolution in Divine Love UK retreat, but we are starting with them. As I always like to say, recalling the words of Srila Siddhar Maharaj, of course, that guru is our potential appearing in front of us. So today we are celebrating the passing of these three gurus. I mean, each one of them are our gurus. And we should feel it. And hopefully, after what we will share about the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, Krishna Das Kaviraj, we could feel, oh, they are all my gurus. It's not that, again, who is your guru? Singular, tense, no? So the life of these personalities is a mirror of potential, so to say. So it's another way of describing a great saint, no? Mirrors of potential. They come and they're mirroring, reflecting back all that you can be. Because many times, as we were talking the other day, we are very one way of defining a conditioned soul, and we can say what's a conditioned soul in so many ways. One of them will be someone who underestimates their potential. Someone who doesn't have a very clear idea of all that they can be. And therefore, they live a very restricted, constricted life. Because they feel this is all I am, and even if I think about potential, this is all that I can be. Just a little bit more of what I am. So that still means we are not enlightened enough as to really see not only who we are, but all that we can be. And the two go by hand because and by hand because we are units of potential. So these great personalities can as mirrors of potential, with their life, with their example, not to create neurosis in us. And as we will hear, the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, it's like, wow, that's all that I can be. I don't see myself living, carrying the lifestyle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And we start to beat on ourselves. That's not the idea. But to have these sacred reminders of also not go to the other extreme of underestimating our potential and just limiting ourselves to be a very, how to say, bonsai version of the potential giant that every soul can become, an atma which can become a mahatma, in the words of Krishna the Gita, a soul that can become an expanded soul, a great soul. So they help us to remember who we are. And remember, recently I learned this interesting point. I love words. And there's a who was Abraham Heschel, a Jewish famous Jewish rabbi and author, who said the opposite of remembering is not forgetting. The opposite of remembering is dismembering. So remembering, no? Reassembling. I'm putting our parts together and realizing who we actually are and all that we can be. Conditioned soul is scattered, so we are not seeing the wholeness of the being and the potential of ourselves. So witnessing, bearing witness to the life of great souls is a sacred process of remembering, putting the members in place, understanding who we are, all that we can be. And conditioned soul is a dismembered soul, scattered soul. We see ourselves in parts, not in wholes. So let's go to the life of these great personalities. Let's get there. Ask their blessings again, Saint Francis included, today in his appearance day as well, though we may not be focusing too much talking about his life today, but he's included again. All saints belong to one same department in one sense. So let's be careful not to draw very thick walls between saints. No? That will be an insult to their universal hearts, so to say. So let's begin with Raghunath Das Goswami. Let's take it a little bit chronologically in terms of when each one was born. So we will go a little bit through their life, their teaching, through how they speak to us, no? So that remains relevant. And we will relate some of their life and teachings with some sections of evolution in Divine Love, so we start to refer back to the work and study together. So who is Raghunath Das Goswami? You tell me. Something. What pops up? Anything.
The sixth gift.
That's a good beginning point. Yeah. So Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the famous six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
Is he the youngest?
Sorry?
Is he the youngest?
No, that's Jiva Goswami.
Does he know where he's cooking?
No.
No.
Good. We are getting there in a minute.
Eliminating.
Who is not Raghunath? Good. We are starting with Via Negativa. That's how it works, right? What something is not, and then we get to who the person is.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends back to, like, live the household and life and come back later or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
A very rich family.
Good.
And he was eating from like bins or like pancake or something like that from the cows. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we are getting there.
Yeah.
He really wanted to kill himself.
No.
Via
Negativa already has passed, so now we are in the well, yeah. Sanatan Goswami.
Brahmacharya.
Rupa Goswami. Sorry. A little
Yes.
bit of poking and.
After his parents,
Sorry?
he had to stay and look after his parents when he
He
wanted.
had to stay?
He wanted to go and join Lord Chaitanya, but he had to stay and look after his parents.
Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. You are with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Okay, the
Yeah.
name is similar. Okay, I'll stop torturing you and say a few words, but thank you. Thank you for the input. Be a negativa, be a positive. What is not? So yeah, Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. He was born into basically what we will say today a multimillionaire family in terms of wealth, and that's a very interesting feature of most of the six Goswamis' birth. Some were born in billionaire family, political, influential family, aristocratic family, lots of knowledge, lots of beauty. Lots of power, all the things translate to power. And Mahaprabhu chose very powerful people with very powerful background to be his main architects of his sampradaya, thereby teaching us power is not in itself something bad. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, we know all that. But also there's something to say about power. There's a proper use of power. So that's a way of understanding also why these six people, one of them being Raghunath Das Goswami, was chosen among them. So yeah, he was born in such a opulent, so to say, family. His father wanted him to be the successor, so to say, to family business and all, and but the problem, and I'm summarizing, we won't go into all the details of his life, but he was, yeah, he fell passionately in love with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? So he tried to escape his house many times. He was married, arranged marriage, he was married, but he was married with Sri Chaitanya Devi in his heart somehow. So he tried to escape times, many times. His family brought him back. He tried to escape again, and his family brought back again. And there is this famous section, his parents are talking about him, like his mother saying, like, what if we tie him at home? Oh, like some form of Damodar Leela or something. So he doesn't escape anymore. And his father basically say, like, I mean, what can a piece of rope do to someone whose heart has been tied in a very different way to a very different person? So at one point, the idea is that, of course, they had to release him. It was too intense for him. His calling, his and of course, something very interesting is that being born in such a opulent millionaire family, Raghunath Das Goswami developed an extreme sense of vairagya or detachment. Among the six Goswamis, all of them were known for their vairagya, their renunciation, their detachment. But Raghunath Das Goswami was the most extreme of them. Like the example Svetodev Radhika was mentioning, like at one point he was begging, and at one point he fell even begging is doing business. Because I'm in the street with my hands stretched, and sometimes I'm looking at people and thinking, he may give, he may not give. I'm falling in such a mercantile pattern in my mind, calculating who will give. So I will stop begging. Imagine, for most of us, begging will be an extreme form of renunciation. For him, begging was to do business. So he started to do other things, even less. I would say more extreme. And at one point, he ended up taking the remnants from offered to Jagannath that had gone, how would say, like rotten, and the cows were thrown there for the cows to eat. And those things that even the cows wouldn't eat, he will go there. He will look for some grains of rice, wash them, and eat that. And when Mahaprabhu heard that, he went when he was there, and he snatched some grains from his hand and said, "You're having such a feast and you're not inviting." And he started to take. Which again, these are things we cannot imitate. Well, don't try to do it at home, parental advisory, as they say. But still, we can be inspired by that because his vairagya was not born out of a dysfunctional rejection of things as bad, but because of extreme passionate love for Bhagavan. So renunciation became like a natural secondary symptom byproduct, which is the very meaning of the word vairagya, right? Vairagya translates sometimes as detachment, renunciation. Vairagya, vai means a very special type of raga, attachment. So the word vairagya translates as detachment, but means a very special type of attachment. So when you are attached in a very special way, detachment comes naturally as a result of that. That's how the Sanskrit works. No? That's the only healthy detachment. Detachment can only come as a symptom of a deeper attachment. No? Param drishtva nivartante, Krishna says in the Gita. Prabhupada will say the higher taste. When you experience a higher taste, the lower taste is released naturally. In other words, the idea is if that's not happening, don't try to force yourself to release stuff if you don't have any other point of reference, because you will end up in a limbo. Follow my point? We don't have a higher or deeper experience of reality, and you just reject, let go of the only reality you have, you end up with no point of reference. And that can be neurosis in the name of detachment. That's why. To safeguard and guarantee that we are not going crazy in our practice, hopefully, vairagya means a very special type of attachment. Whenever you have that real and irresistible experience, you can let go. So Raghunath Das Goswami was an example of that. He had deep love for Krishna. Actually, he's known not as the Rasacharya. Sorry, Ravindra, that was Rupa Goswami, but it's okay. They are close. He's very rasic, no problem. He's known as Prayojan Tattvacharya. Each one of the Goswami had been eventually like depicted in terms of some department they were especially inspired for. So Rupa Goswami will be Rasacharya, Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, describing rasa in detail in his works. Sanatan Goswami will be Sambandhacharya, establishing Sambandha through his books like we have Bhagavatamrita and others. Jiva Goswami will be the Tattvacharya, not like the theologian of the six Goswamis with his Satsang Dharma. Gopal Bhatta Goswami will be more related to the worship of the deity and different details about. No, Radha Raman is very connected to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami we'll see in a minute, so I won't say anything now. But Raghunath Das Goswami was Prayojan Tattvacharya. Prayojan Tattva means, in one sense, Prayojan means the goal, the attainment, the ultimate goal. Which in our tradition, of course, it's we will say in general way divine love. But if we go to the specificity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the particularity of the gift of Sri Chaitanya, not being exclusive, hopefully, not being racist in the name of rasa. that high point, at least objectively speaking, is Radha Dasyam, or the service to the feet of Sri Radha. So Raghunath Das Goswami being Prayojan Tattvacharya embodies this servitude to the goddess in his writings. Vilap Kusumanjali being one of the most famous ones, and many other set of poems he wrote. Many of them are all basically exclusively, how do you say in English? Pledge of alliance? There's a
Pledge
phrase.
of Alliance.
Pledge of allegiance to the service of Srimati Radharani. And in connection to this, to him being the Prayojan Tattvacharya, let me read something. And if you want to also accompany, hopefully we are having this. There are not two editions, so we'll all be in the same page. Page 15, no? In terms of Prayojan, no? Because again, Prayojan means goal, but Prayojan also means necessity. So page 15, connection to this says, at times we may perceive ourselves as having various needs, when in reality we lack love. These perceived needs pale in comparison to the true necessity that stems from love itself. It is only through experiencing genuine love that we can fully understand the meaning of necessity. In Sanskrit, a term often associated with love is prayojan, typically translated as goal. In essence, prem prayojan denotes love prem as the ultimate goal of life. Similarly, Prayojan can also be translated as necessity, suggesting that love is the ultimate necessity of life. But recognizing love as the supreme necessity does not imply that acquiring it will eliminate all other needs. Rather, it reveals that upon attaining love, we truly understand what it means to have genuine necessities. Since the nature of love is that love is ever expanding, love is not only its own reward, but also its own necessity. Love not only is the ultimate necessity, it creates the ultimate necessity in the form of further love. So that's in few words and the idea of Prayojan, which Raghunath Das Goswami embodies. Love not only as an attainment, but as an ongoing necessity that creates more necessity, more thirst for more. And then we can very beautifully perceive Raghunath Das Goswami's, I will call them, desperate writings. Because he shows this again. We may not be able to imitate that, but we can truly, generally be moved by witnessing this divine longing and thirst for more love, for more service that he expresses in his prayers. For example, again, Bilap Kusumanjal in the service of Sri Radha, they are like desperate longings, beautiful longings. Reminded of this famous verse of Rupa Goswami, Tunde Tanda Vinira Timbitanute Tundavali Laptaye, Karna Krodha Kadambini Gatayate, Karnar Budivis Priham Cheto Prangana Sangini Bijayate, Sarvendriyanam Kritim, Nojane Janitaki Yadviram Ritair, Krishneti Varnandoi. He says, how much nectar is in these two syllables? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. There's like how much nectar is in these two syllables? There are two syllables, but they contain so much that my only prayer is, Krishna, if I can ask something for you, give me millions of tongues so I can hold space for the pouring of nectar coming from these two syllables. And if I can ask something else, if I dare to ask something else, give me a few millions of years so I can receive the nectar pouring from these two syllables with do proper justice to that, because now I'm being overwhelmed. It's too much nectar, just 2 years, one tongue. I mean, I'm just catching this, I'm not able to honor all that is coming. So it's a desperate prayer. It's not just like, I will do a fancy prayer, creative, people will find it cool, praying for millions of years and tongue. He's genuinely meaning that. That's a very clear example of how our acharyas are people in great need. Very different needs than the ones we may have in, but they still have very desperate longing and needs. And we're invited to assist them in those needs. It's Krishna, Radha and Krishna are on a daily basis full of necessities, and love creates its own necessities in the same way great personalities have necessities. Because they identify with the necessities of the divine. So the world of love, as I say in the book, love creates its not only is the ultimate necessity, but love creates the ultimate necessity in the form of more love, more service opportunities. So anyhow, this is the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami as Prayojan Tattvacharya. And again, he's embodying Prayojan, the attainment of the service at the lotus feet of Sri Radha. So I'd like to share one word about very brief sharing in connection to the mood of love of Sri Radha to understand what it means to render service to that and how that reality is ever expanding, ever evolving. Page 30. And says the beginning. If love is the greatest mystery and ultimate paradox, Radha's love stands at its pinnacle. Chaitanya Charitamrita reveals this truth, depicting Radha's love as all-encompassing and leaving no room for further expansion, yet paradoxically, increasing at every second. Sri Rupa Goswami echoes this, describing her love as all-pervading yet ever-increasing, profoundly deep yet playfully light, all these sets of apparent contradictions, entirely pure and straightforward yet full of intricate twists. As all contradictions are simultaneously present but also resolved in the sweet absolute, so too Radha's love is fully paradoxical yet integrating all opposites. And one more line. This paradoxical nature of Radha's ever-expanding love also leads her to feel that despite having wholly surrendered herself for Krishna's pleasure, she has still not fully succeeded. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami captures this sentiment by paraphrasing Radha's words to Krishna. So Sri Radha says in the word of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, O Master, she's talking to Krishna, people say that I have a bad reputation because of my connection with you. I feel no trouble in my heart because of this. What troubles me is that I could not fully give myself to you. This is the only trouble within my heart. So again, in the same way that Rupa Goswami is feeling, I'm not properly honoring the nectar of these two syllables, I need more ears, more tongues. Radha, the personification of loving dedication, feels I have not yet given myself fully to Krishna. That's my only trouble. But again, it's a very unique type of trouble. Again, it's very different from the troubles we are in, right? So it's a holy, sacred trouble. And that creates lots of service opportunities. So it's a trouble that creates service opportunities. And that will be our eternal duty to help in solving Radha's trouble in eternity. So basically, this is what, among other things, Raghunath Das Goswami is embodying. The serving to this ever-evolving need of love. And the price to pay for that, of course, and the identification for that. Not many people nowadays in the Gaudiya Vaishnava community are, I don't know, like to talk relatively cheaply about Radha Dasyam and Manjari Bhav and the service to Radharani. But actually, there are so many things that need to be in place for our approach to be realistic. Sometimes I like to point that, I don't know, as we talk this day, the risk-taking that is implied in that type of love, in any type of genuine love, risk-taking, fearlessness, commitment, dedication. Just speaking in terms of qualities that is embodied by these personalities and how we first need to find ourselves fully into that before we dare to say, yeah, I'm already there and let's just talk all day about the names of, I don't know, recently someone told me, yeah, in order to get more familiar with Radharani, we need to know which time, exact time she needs, she's actually taking lunch. And that means to become more acquainted with Radha. I mean, I have nothing against you learning at which time she has lunch, but that's not the substance of it, right? So anyhow, Raghunath Das Goswami embodies that substance. And there is so much substance in his heart, as I also like to remember that in externally, there's so much going on inside that externally, for example, his worship of Krishna, Mahaprabhu gave him Giriraj Govardhan to worship. And his worship is very, very simple. Mahaprabhu gave Giriraj and said, you bathe Giriraj daily with some water, offer tulsi leaf, put the gunja mala around, and that's it. Because he knew everything else, all the ornamentation is coming. No? All the offering is ultimately his love. No? His love is the ornamentation. So the more we grow in love, probably the simpler our external worship will look. I'm not saying it's a rule, but many times we see that in people like Raghunath Das Goswami. No, at least we won't, or even if there's external ornamentation, it will come as an extension of one's heart's love. Because if not, as we were laughing yesterday, I think, talking with Manjali, like sometimes in Archana we become like mudra obsessed. Right? And we start like to, and we think like the more complicated we do it, the more advanced it is. And Krishna is just sitting there waiting, like, where you are finishing all that stuff? Like, I'm hungry. I won't put me to sleep. I'm tired. I mean, why you are doing all this? Like, nothing against mudras. It's a way of joking, but sometimes I've seen that we end up becoming more obsessed about like, okay, this has to be like this exactly, and this one. I learned some mudras, I see. Right? No, the swimming one. And it's fine, I have nothing against that, but as long as we under these are symbols that have meaning and invoke something, so it's not just about the obsession with perfectionistic obsession and about external accuracy, and the heart is who knows where. No, so that's why in Archana they say first you offer your mind, whatever you offer externally, first you offer inside of you. No? So it's first and foremost an inner offering, right? So anyhow, this is a few words on Raghunath Das Goswami. We could continue, but we have two more great personalities to visit. One more thing that comes to my mind. One beautiful story about how intense was his inner absorption and how intense was his tadatmya, no, his empathy. Now, to say that once Srila Rupa Goswami One of the works that Rupa Goswami wrote are one is called Lalita Madhava. There's one called Bidagdha Madhava and one called Lalita Madhava. So these are like dramas that he composed in the context of Radha and Krishna Lila. So in Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami writes Lalita Madhava and shares the manuscript with Raghunath Das Goswami. And in Lalita Madhava, the pain of separation of Sri Radha is described. And you are showing that to Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the embodiment of love for her and assisting her in her necessities, right? So it is said that Rupa Goswami gives Lalita Madhava to Raghunath Das Goswami, and the more Raghunath Das Goswami reads that book that depicts in detail the agony of loving separation, Raghunath Das Goswami enters into tadatmya with her, into deep mystical empathy, and whatever she's feeling, he's feeling. And Rupa Goswami starts to fear for his life, for Raghunath Das Goswami's life. Say, oh, I've given him this book, and now he's reading, identifying with such a level of passion with her pain, I'm concerned that he may die. So then Rupa Goswami writes Bidagdha Madhava, sorry, Dhanakeli Komodi, which is another book which is more like comedy and Leela and funny. So he changes the mood. So Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't die. No? Imagine. Rupa Goswami wrote the whole book to save the life of Raghunath, to save the life of his friend. Try to imagine the intensity of that, right? Generally, we write the book because a publishing house suggests you can write about this topic, it will be successful, you may get subscribers. And Rupa Goswami is like, I had to save the life of my friend. What to do? No? So he wrote this book. He gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, read this one. This is the next one. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was on the verge of death. He gave Dhanakeli Komodi, read this one and give me the other one. No? So he took Lalita Madhava from Raghunath Das Goswami. Because he knew if he that can be dangerous for him. And he replaced it with that, interestingly. Now, so it's a beautiful example of tadatmya, right? Empathy. In two ways, right? Raghunath Das Goswami expressing deep empathy for Sri Radha and Rupa Goswami expressing deep empathy for Raghunath Das Goswami's feelings and emotions and assisting him in saving his life. As I like to say sometimes, our service in eternity is to save the life of God on a daily basis when there are dying separation. But here we have an extension of that, and Rupa Goswami is saving Raghunath Das Goswami's life, who wants to save Radha's life and save. So anyhow, again, not to maybe we cannot imitate that at home, copy paste, but we hopefully can get inspired just by witnessing, wow, all that is possible. No? Like one Srila Prabhupada say when he published The Nectar of Devotion, and some devotees were okay, the first parts we can relate to them, but there are some parts which we feel that they're like on top work, is he? They ask him like, "Why you wrote about? Why you share that?" He said, "Oh, it's just for you to know that something like that exists." Like again, just to not underestimate our potential, even if we feel that's long-term goal, still keep it somewhere in your, in your picture. And of course, be realistic. Address whatever needs to be addressed on short term. But do not limit your whole prospect to what needs to be addressed in the short term. So all these things are beautiful. Remind, we may not need to speak about this every day, only about this, but also we may need to talk about this sometimes and be reminded of, yeah. Because at the end of the day, Krishna consciousness is not just about mere psychological, emotional balance also, right? Let's be careful not to reduce all mystical path to be a healthy human being only. Let's go not to the extreme of canceling that either. So everything has to find its place in the equation. Okay, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai.
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 Let's go to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami now. The other Raghunath in the Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta. There are two Raghunaths and there are two Bhattas. Right. Gopal Bhatta, Raghunath Bhatta, and Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta. So Raghunath Bhatta combines a little bit of that. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who's also has disappeared day like today, somehow he's the most mysterious of all the six Goswamis. mysterious in the sense that he's the one we know the least. The least, you say the less. The least. We know very little about him. In that sense, mysterious. But still, we know enough as to share something and hopefully be inspired today. So he didn't leave any writing text like most of the other Goswamis did. In terms of biographical details, again, there's not much known about him. We know that he was the son of Tapan Mishra. He was a dear associate of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu visited him and Chandrasekhar Acharya at one point when he was traveling in India. He instructed Sanatan Goswami during that same visit. And this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it is said that one of the most important events in that visit, of course, was to meet Chandrasekhar Acharya, Tapan Mishra, instructing Sanatan Goswami. But also something very important during that visit was a very, how to say, humble service that was offered to Mahaprabhu during the days he stayed there by a 9-year-old boy. And that 9-year-old boy was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So he met, imagine what it means to meet Mahaprabhu when you are 9 years old. Just stay there for a moment. Try to think about when you were 9 years old and how our trajectory will be affected by having Mahaprabhu as your guest at home for a few weeks. Right. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami offered to bury. Humble, simple, sir. Again, how, in one sense, of course, a 9-year-old may not be able to offer certain services that an adult can offer. So, but still, whatever he offered as a 9-year-old, which we don't know, but it was very basic, simple, but very intentional, very loving. Yesterday, we were remembering and celebrating the appearance day of this Christian saint, Teresa of Lisieux. So she's famous for this idea of the little way. She will describe herself as a little flower, right? So like do small things in a big way internally. No? Let's the bigness make it inside. Again, like Raghunath Das Goswami worshipping Govardhan externally, very simply, internally, very elaborate. No? So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a very young child, 9 years old, but was, how to say, lots of sincerity in his approach, and Mahaprabhu was captured by that. And we find many examples in our tradition of Sri Chaitanya Dev being conquered by those quote unquote insignificant services. No? For example, famous example, Prataparudra Maharaj, King of Puri, King of Puri. How he conquered Mahaprabhu? Pick him a broom. How do you say when you sweeping? That was the checkmate, so to say, which and because he wanted to approach Mahaprabhu, but the sweeping was the checkmate. Sweeping. No? Someone today said, who would like to sweep the house today? We are waiting, someone else has raised their hand. They're like, okay, I sweep. Prataparudra Maharaj picked a sweep, a broom, sorry, and conquered Mahaprabhu's heart with that. So, again, externally simple, internally elaborate. Mahaprabhu didn't never saw the sweeping; he saw the heart, offered itself in service. So, in this way, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, as a very young child, 9 years old, he conquered Mahaprabhu. Very simply. And then, when he was a little older, he was 20 years old, he visited Mahaprabhu. He was at Jagannath Puri at the time, Sri Chaitanya Dev as a sannyasi residing in Puri. He spent 8 months with Mahaprabhu. What must it be to spend 8 months with Sri Chaitanya? I don't have a clue, but let's pray for it. And he cooked for Sri Chaitanya. That's what Jamuna mentioned a few minutes ago. In our Via Negativa, who is not Raghunath Das Goswami? Raghunath Das Goswami hardly ate Jamuna. What to speak of cooking? I forgot that part. Well, I cannot go back. That would be too much. But so we know the one when Raghunandas Goswami asked Mahaprabhu, give me some personal instruction. He said, do not listen to gossip, do not speak gossip, do not dress in a fancy way, do not eat in a fancy way. Oh, he took it very seriously, Raghunandas Goswami, as we saw, for example, we did. And some other things. Then he recited the third verse of Shikshasagandha. He said, Braja Radha Krishna Seva Manasa Kariv. In your mind, sir, Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. But he began the whole set of instructions saying, don't be a gossiper. Before you are fully sure you are embraced that instruction fully, don't try to go even to the next stage. Stay there and don't talk about people. Talk to people. That's the difference between gossip and non-gossip. Anyhow, back to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. 8 months with Mahaprabhu, cooking for him. So this was one of the things that made Raghunath Bhatta Goswami very famous. Famous, I mean, very. Yeah, that was his main quality, as I was saying. Tattvacharya Rupa Goswami, the theologian, Sanatan Goswami, the Sambandacharya, Rupa Goswami, the Rasacharya, Videyacharya, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, the kitchen acharya. Why not? What's the problem? There's no high and low, right? That's the point. So, like, oh, he's not a theologian? Oh. He's not a book distributor? Oh, that's like, well, temple president? No. Cook? Cook?
It's a bit
Sometimes
strange.
you may pick the broom also, some sweeping there. The sweeping Acharya, Prataparudra Maharaj. Again, the Gaur Lila is teaching us those lessons, right? Like, pick a broom and conquer God's heart. That's one a good one-liner. Cook, and that's it. No? So again, simple seva, cooking, but that was his contribution, a unique contribution. And then interestingly, Mahaprabhu instructed him, return to Benares, where he lived, where Mahaprabhu visited them when he was a child, and go and take care of your parents. And study Srimad Bhagavatam. That will become another feature, as we will see, of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But again, Mahaprabhu said, go and take care of your parents. He didn't say, oh, family is Maya, reject all of them, stop talking to them. No. You just stay with me, and they will be blessed by you becoming a devotee. They're old, yeah, but Krishna will make an arrangement. No, the arrangement, Krishna made the arrangement. Krishna himself, as Mahaprabhu, would say, go back to your parents. Right? So, this teaches also, again, Mahaprabhu was a sannyas in Puri. For certain reasons, he took sannyas, we know that, but he tried to show this sensitivity, human sensitivity. Take care of your parents, take responsibility, be a responsible member of society. Right? Eventually, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's parents die, and he goes back to Mahaprabhu. After having taken care of his parents. And he spends another 8 months with Mahaprabhu. What must it be to spend 8 months with Mahaprabhu after having spent other 8 months with Mahaprabhu, after having met him when you were 9 years old? And then Mahaprabhu sends him to Vrindavan. Because remember, these six Goswamis are known as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were not born in Vrindavan, but they all met and gathered in Vrindavan, and of course did so much service for Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu says, go to Vrindavan and meet with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. And remember, he asked Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu told that. Mahaprabhu was in Puri, listening Srimad Bhagavatam daily from the lips of Gadadhar Pandit in. We are warming up for a future Jagannath Puri Parikram.
Bridge.
Where will be the Bhagavatam daily recital in Jagannath Puri?
Gopinath. Gopinath.
Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath. So, in the same way that Gadadhar Pandit will recite the Bhagavatam, the Gadadhar Pandit Sri Radha reciting Bhagavatam to Krishna. So it's Radha giving Bhagavatam lectures to Krishna. And Bhagavatam is all about love for Krishna. And Mahaprabhu is Krishna trying to learn what's love for Krishna. So he needs some assistance in that. So Radha is the best possible teacher. Gadadhar Pandit giving daily Bhagavad Katha to Mahaprabhu. So in the same way that was taking place in Puri, Sri Chaitanya thought, okay, a similar current needs to be established in Vrindavan, and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is the man, is the person for that. So he sent Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to Vrindavan, and he became a very famous, how to say, presenter, speaker of the Bhagavatam. And he will recite the Bhagavatam in different ragas and different tunes, different melodies. And of course, in Sanskrit, raga refers to melodies or tunes, but also speaks about flavor or color in Sanskrit, different moods and emotions. And since we touch upon the Bhagavatam and we are trying to connect some topics with evolution and divine love, remember when we say the Bhagavatam, on the Bhagavatam itself, say the Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna, Krishna's heart. So it's not a book. We were talking a little bit about the Bhagavatam in breakfast today. There may be some technical details, grammatical errors that even the Bhagavatam acknowledges. There may be there, but scratching the surface will find Krishna's heart in the form of a book. It's not a book. Originally, it's just sound revelation chapter. And it's the nature of the Bhagavatam, the nature of any mystical revelation is ever fresh, ever new, ever evolving. So it's not just one thing. Because we tend to put things into boxes. Putting sound into books is somehow putting things into boxes. I'm sorry to do that, but anyhow, it's a bestseller. But ideally, this stuff should be living things, right? Not just a thing that, okay, this is seats, this page is this size, this says in page this. But there's ideally so much happening and brimming in between the lines. Ideally. I'm not claiming my book has that, but we're talking about the Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu gave that example, right? In Puri, he will listen to the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit will recite specially certain sections that we hear about, like Prahlad Maharaj Lila or Dhruva Maharaj Lila. That's interesting because we are here. That's another conversation, but I'll mention it. We are losing you. We are okay. Yeah, you need light, you need air, massage. With massage, we may lose you. No massage, no massage. Shock therapy, that may be another So here we have Radha Gadadhar Pandit teaching Krishna Mahaprabhu the Bhagavatam, and Krishna is trying to relish Radha Bhav. So you will think, okay, the main recitation will be Rasa Lila, 10th canto. And you have Gadadhar Pandit speaking, Prahlad Maharaj, 7th canto, Dhruva Maharaj, 4th canto, which by comparison do not seem like so high and so deep and so esoteric, like compared to Rasa Lila. Understanding, Mahaprabhu is trying to relish Radha Bhav. So let's go there. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. And on top of that, it's not that Gadadhar Pandit is talking about that and Mahaprabhu is like, why are you reciting Prahlad Maharaj? I'm here trying to taste Radha Bhav. Come on, let's jump to the 10th canto. Mahaprabhu is not saying any of that. He's saying, recite it again and again. And the scriptures say he will ask Gadadhar Pandit 100 times, repeat it again, Prahlad Maharaj. Imagine. So there are many things to say about that, of course. One of them is, again, doesn't mean it's the same thing again. It's never the same thing. So again means a new level, a new version, a new ever fresh revelation from the quote unquote same Lila. No? We have a river. What's the main river in England? I give those river examples from the last month. Thames?
Thames.
You pronounce Thames.
Thames. Yeah.
Thames.
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 Thames. In Spanish is Tames. I have the Spanish versions of that. So you have the river Thames here, and you always name it the same. But the river is never the same. Right? You never bathe twice in the same river, the saying goes. So it's the same, but it's not the same. Right? You call it the same river, but it's never the same river. You should give it a new name at every moment. Every time you bathe in the river, you should rebaptize it. It's not too practical, so we call it Thames every single time, but we should remain aware. This moving current, it's always fresh, ever fresh. So the same way, Prahlad Leela, again, the same Leela, no, it's never the same. Let's try to understand these Leelas as moving, living currents. So every time you try to bathe in them, you will always find them. Oh, it's a new flavor, it's a new type of water. Although we give the same name to that.
Yes, can I add something? There's an Austrian saying, a child's grandmother told me that when you have dirty water and it's running over three stones, after the three stones, it's clean already.
We have all the cultures supporting our poems. Yeah. So in this way, no, Mahaprabhu will ask again, again, the same, again. And these leelas would seem basic, which at the same time instruct us to not try to rush into the most esoteric thing if you have not fully embraced the previous lessons. But even more esoterically, what has been told is that Mahaprabhu also will prefer those narratives because both Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj are stories where these two little kids face so much opposition. No? Dhruva Maharaj being in the forest, being rejected by his father, basically in one sense, being like exiled. No? Prahlad Maharaj, no need to mention in detail how Hiranyakashipu was not precisely the most loving father or dysfunctional family on earth. So very lots of obstacles and difficulty and exile stories. And somehow all that is what Radha goes on a daily basis, right? Right? Obstacles to meet with Krishna, rejection from her dysfunctional family at home, Jatila, Kutila, Abhimanyu. You cannot have more dysfunctional trio there. We don't have time to go into the details now, but enough. Risk of everything, losing reputation, being exiled from the village if everyone comes to know she's having rendezvous with. So in one sense, Mahaprabhu was listening to all these stories, but relating all of them in the context of Radha Bhava. What Radha was the price to embrace her mood, to embrace the abhisar, the love journey. But anyhow, what I want to emphasize was this point of how the Bhagavatam that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was so expert at presenting is ever fresh, ever new. And for that, we were talking the other day with, I think 2 days ago, also with Manjali. Many related topics in our recent conversation with Manjali. There's the third verse of the Bhagavatam, which is called the Ashirvad Sloka. No? Every Mangala Charan or auspicious invocation. In books, there are auspicious invocations, and generally they have three ingredients. Today's a little bit more of a technical class, sorry for that. You don't need to take notes of everything I'm saying, just in case. So every Mangala Charan in a book has what's called Namaskar Shloka, Bastu Nirdesh Shloka, and Ashirvad Shloka, which means a verse that describes offer namaste, namaskar to the deity of the book. That's the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo, Namo means Namaha, Namaskar, to Vasudev, Krishna. So that's first verse, first element of Mangala Charan, Namaskar Shloka. Then Bastu Nirdesh Shloka. Bastu means substance, Nirdesh means to point. So the verse which points to the essence of the whole book. So that's verse two. Dharma Prayuto Kaitavo Traparamo Nirmatsaranam Satam, and so on. I won't explain it now. We need another retreat for that verse only. But that's a verse that encapsulates the meaning of the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam rejects utterly all cheating in the name of religion and brings the highest goal of life, divine love, and so on. And the third ingredient of the Mangala Charan is the Ashirvad Shloka. Ashirvad means like blessing. So a verse that gives a blessing. If you read this book, like you read at the end of these songs or ashtakams, by singing this, this fruit will come. This is the blessing. So third verse of the Bhagavatam says that. one line particularly of the verse, which says, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhur Ahorasika Bhuvi Babuka. So, which basically says, drink, Pibata, drink this, the rasa, the juice of the Bhagavatam Alayam, which means even after liberation. This book is not about moksha, mukti, liberation, but what happens after moksha. It's a post-liberated treatise. And what happens after moksha? You will be drinking this nectar of the Bhagavatam for eternity. That's the blessing. You will be, in other words, what the Bhagavatam implies, the sweetness of the love, all that the book embodies, you will be drinking that for eternity, of that fountain, of that wellspring. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments something very interesting in this verse. So I'd like to share that with you. And we are going to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in a minute. We don't want to forget him. Page 99 and 100. So I'm reading from the comments to this verse in the Bhagavad and his Sarartha Darshani commentary. One should drink this nectarian juice until the eight ecstatic symptoms culminating in fainting manifest fully. So in Sanskrit, alayam also means fainting. So you consume the juice of the Bhagavad until you pass out. It will drive you to passing out. And then he says, even though one cannot drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam while fainted, common sense, upon regaining consciousness, one resumes drinking until fainting occurs again. That's what we will be doing in eternity, basically. Eternal drunkards, basically. One cannot give up drinking. This unending cycle reflects the use of the word muhur. Continuously. Furthermore, muhur carries an additional meaning. Even after drinking deeply, tasting this nectar again brings an ever-increasing relish for it. This is truly astonishing. So it's very relatable to what we were talking the other day with Manjuali also, again, about the Sufis imaginary of a tavern and wine. They resort over and over again to these words. And we will be like, oh, we don't drink wine. That's intoxication. But they are, when they say wine, they are referring to these type of things. In fact, Srila Siddhar Maharaj composed a verse offering pranam to Gadadhar Pandit and serves, and mentions how at the shore of Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit is serving the wine of the Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu. On the daily classes we are talking about. The wine comes there also in our tradition. And the Sufis have this idea of a tavern. Tavern? Well, people go to get drunk, basically, right? But the idea of tavern actually means this. Satsang. This is the tavern. We are getting together to get drunk, no? To relish the juice, the sweetness, all the things, and faint, pass out, back again, second drink. No, like in a tavern, you drink a few, like at one point you cannot even catch the glass, so you need it. And eventually when you return, another one. So we have our own tavern, our own wine in the form of the ever fresh juice of the Bhagavatam. And again, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was expert in sharing and reciting and relishing. Again, it's not just a professional reciter of the Bhagavatam. He was a drunk madman in divine love. No, in divine law. It's not an insult to call them drunk madmen in the context of divine law. So that's the nature of the Bhagavatam. And again, there are many sections in the Bhagavatam which the Bhagavatam itself describes. This book is newer at every moment. This book is palatable and relishable at every step. So, of course, then the invitation is like, well, I'm not finding it that way. So then we have to work on that. Why? What's getting in the way? What needs to be understood properly. Not only is not relishable and every step, I'm getting traumatized by some sections. Let's see it and talk about it. What's preventing the drunkenness, right? What's preventing the sacred passing out? So, and that's what we are trying to figure out at sadhakas. That's sadhana bhakti also. Bhava bhakti means you enter the tavern never to leave it again. No, you are officially branded as Nitya drunken. No, you're eternally mad. But before reaching that, the stages of sadhana bhakti means thinking and integrating and understanding and internalizing everything in ways that are healthy and realistic, so we become eventually drunk for the right reasons, forever. The eternal tavern, another name for Golok Vrindavan. Anyhow, so much could be said about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, but we want to also save a few minutes to honor Krishna Das Kavaraj Goswami. Ki Jai. And of course, he's mostly known for being the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was eventually, he left his house at one point in Bengal, and because his brother was inimical is in
Yes.
English, inimical to an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, and he couldn't bear sharing the same house with someone who will insult Nityananda Prabhu and his associates in this case. So he, and that very night, he had a dream. Because again, he left his home just because he couldn't bear, he has so much feeling for Nityananda Prabhu, like someone is insulting him. How can I stay there? It's too much. He had a dream where Nityananda Prabhu appeared with his associate and tell him, go to Vrindavan, and there you will find the fulfillment to all your desires. And then he arrives to Vrindavan and he finds many of the local Brajavasis telling him, oh, we know about the Leelas of Sri Chaitanya Dev by different biographies that have been written about him, but there's not much elaboration about his Madhya Leela and Antya Leela, the period he spent in Puri. You please do that. So he arrived to Vrindavan and received service from the local Brajavasis, and that's how Chaitanya Charitamrita started. No? There is a beautiful place in Radhakund, which is the place where he lived and where he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is a very hidden room of one of my favorite places when I go there, because many people do not know that place. And it's just like you cannot see it if you don't know how to get it. And when you get it, it's like a door, like two small rooms, but there, once as the greatest thing in the universe happened, if you want to put it that way. But again, externally, it seems like nothing. Again, externally, the little way, right? Remember, there's a pattern that we have been showing. Externally, seems ordinary, simple, but what's going on in the inner substance? So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, a few words on Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the culminating biography of Mahaprabhu. Actually, there are like seven main biographies of Mahaprabhu. I won't go into each one of them, but it's Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya. There are two Chaitanya Mangalas, two biographies written by Kavi Karnapur. The first biography, chronologically speaking, written by Murari Gupta, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charit. And each one of them, interestingly, I mean, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the culmination, not only chronologically, it's the last of them, but also we will say the theological zenith of all the biographies of Mahaprabhu. In the first biographies, you read them, and Mahaprabhu is mostly depicted as Vishnu avatar, no? In some of them. So gradually, there is a theological unfolding of who is Mahaprabhu in every, in all ways. A new form of Krishna, Bhagavan, God as a devotee. Krishna sometimes assuming the role of Radharani. We have glimpses here and there, here and there, here and there. But when we reach Chaitanya Charitamrita, by that time there are the books of the Goswamis written already, so they are deeply informing Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's writing. And then he will write Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is very clear about the real internal purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent to taste Radha's love, different purposes for that, and a very detailed explanation of why ultimately do we have Gaur Lila, basically, which is not describing that detail in the other biography. So in that sense, Chaitanya Charitamrita is sometimes referred to as the final word. I mean, there's no final word about anything. but in one sense, final word in connection to these biographies. There's a whole one academic book written by Tony Stewart about that called The Final Word on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very nice book. So anyhow, he's articulating in that book how Mahaprabhu was Radha and Krishna combined in a particular way, because again, Gadadhar is Radha. We don't want to do away with Gadadhar Pandit, please. So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita is seen as a culmination of all this biography. In the same way that we will say Srimad Bhagavatam is the culmination of all the Vedas, then Chaitanya Charitamrita is the not only the culminations of all the other biographies, but the distilled essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the author, right? And we'll say Bhagavad Gita concludes where the Bhagavatam starts. Bhagavad Gita concludes Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, 1866. That's the beginning of the Bhagavatam 112, Dharma Prayuto Kaitava. And Bhagavatam concludes last verse, Nama Sankirtanam Jasya, at the feet of Nam Sankirtan, offering pranam to the Bhagavan related to Nam Sankirtan, which is Mahaprabhu. That's the last verse of the Bhagavatam. So where the Gita concludes, the Bhagavatam starts. Where the Bhagavatam concludes, Gaur Lila starts. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the culmination of those all of these Gaur Lila depictions. Unlike the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita also describes itself as ever fresh, you know, in connection to evolution and divine love. And it urges its readers to return to it again and again. And so again, we find this pattern in the Gita is the same. At the end of the Gita, what does Sanjaya say? Every time I recall this conversation again and again, I cannot but feel wonder and astonishment. So that's at the end of the Gita, like implying you are about to finish this book, but you can never finish this book. That's how it finishes. Like finishes pointing to the main speaker, Sanjaya, who is kind of the narrator of what's taking place, saying, every time I recall, implying I go back to the conversation again and again, and it's always ever fresh and new. Bhagavatam says the same thing about itself. Chaitanya Charitamrita says the same thing about itself. Just in case you've read some of these books, do not dare to think you have read them in a good way. You can always read them again, read them again, read them. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, no, the very name of the book is beautiful because, of course, it can be translated as Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Charitamrita. Charit means like attributes, qualities. Amrit means nectarian, eternal. So the nectarian attributes of Sri Chaitanya. No? Fair enough. But also, we could say Chaitanya means consciousness, because that's the meaning of the word Chaitanya, apart from referring to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which, by the way, that's the name of Mahaprabhu Sannyasi Krishna Chaitanya, which means Krishna consciousness. Right? No? Especially those of you who have been affiliated with ISKCON and also affiliated with Srila Siddhar Maharaj, he will use the term, the expression Krishna consciousness, referring back to Srila Prabhupada. So. But Krishna consciousness is another way of saying Krishna Chaitanya, right? It all comes from Mahaprabhu, right? So Chaitanya means consciousness. Charit means qualities. And Amrit means nectarian or immortal. So Chaitanya Charitamrita also can mean the nectarian attributes of consciousness in immortality. So it not only speaks about Mahaprabhu, but speaks about us as consciousness and what are the attributes that consciousness expresses, the immortal character of consciousness. As Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say, what was his expression? A positive, positive, progressive. I'm getting old. Immortal, positive, progressive immortality. It's not coming.
Except immortality, is it?
Yes, something like that. Positive, progressive immortality. Anyhow, something to indicate this idea of Amrita in Sanskrit, which can mean immortal, but also Amrita means nectar, right? We use the word amrita for nectar. So he will say immortality has to be sweet. No? We don't want mere immortality. We don't want barren immortality, boring immortality, static immortality. We want drunk immortality, taverned immortality. No? So to say. So amrita means both things. Amrita means immortal, but also means nectarian. So Chaitanya Charitamrita means the immortal nectarian qualities of consciousness. So not only speaks about Mahaprabhu, but speaks about all that we can be as consciousness. Of course, we cannot imitate Mahaprabhu, but somehow he's Krishna as a guru, reflecting back, mirroring back to our own potential, inviting us to embrace our own potential. So I quote in my book, just to conclude, since we are also trying to connect the sharing today with evolution and divine love, I quote Chaitanya Charitamrita a lot here. If you have been an attentive reader and you have gone through the end notes, which only nerds do, I read the end notes. You may feel, for some people, that may be a reason to be embarrassed to confess. I actually read every end note when I read a book. there are a lot of quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'd like to share two with you, which speak about the nectarian attributes of consciousness and immortality and in the dynamic nature of love. Just for us again to understand how all these topics we are talking about in these books or anywhere are all in our tradition. It's not that, and are in other traditions, sister tradition, but also are part of our heritage. So we should learn to appreciate that. So let's go to page 59 for a moment. This is a famous one that you may have heard from me at least 108 times. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita says, this is a quoting you can see in italics. Both the gopis and Krishna are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects Krishna's beauty and sweetness. Thus, competition increases. Since neither gives up, their loving interaction becomes newer and newer, and the experience on both sides constantly deepens. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Famous example of Krishna and gopis, not God and his devotees, both increasing their love for each other, the beauty, competition starts and never ends. You use the analogy you want, competition, tavern, that's secondary, but let's get right, the taste of what's actually going on. Always deepening, ever deepening. Now let's conclude with one last quote, which is in page 125 of the book, also a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somehow showing from another way, in another language, making the same point. But try to understand what I will read now in the context of what I just read, so it doesn't become dysfunctional. Wherever there is a relationship of love for God, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not consider himself a devotee. Instead, he always feels that he has not even a drop of love for God. So again, this is not an instruction to feel miserable and get depressed, but just the natural symptom of how someone who has love is like there's so much more love to be had that by comparison, I cannot dare to affirm I have it. It's mine. I've colonized the realm of love or something, right? So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which means it's coming from the pen of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in relation to whom we are celebrating his disappearance day, along with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. So, I don't know, I felt inspiration to share something about these three great saints, and hopefully something has touched our heart and we have gathered their blessings to officially begin today's retreat. Also, again, blessings of our dear Saint Francis of Assisi and his appearance day today. And many other things that are happening every day. So I think we can put our sharing to rest today. And I'm thinking in the evening, originally we were planning circle sharing, but I've changed my mind to have a gradual warm up. And we can have Q&A today and the circle sharing tomorrow and in that same one day each. But we can have Q&A later. So if you have any questions, anything you may like to ask, whether regarding today's sharing, we can explore that in the evening. But before concluding, don't leave Anuradha, one more minute, please. Put your glasses back. Thank you. When someone takes out their glasses, means over. So we have Anuradha back. Thank you. Now, as I mentioned, the idea will be also to invite you to have some Lectio Divina or some reflective reading. I don't know if you recall what's Lectio Divina. Briefly, I will mention, which is this Christian mystical way of addressing scripture, which can be applied in any tradition, which basically is contemplating a particular passage or line or verse and staying with it for some time, no? And seeing how it lands inside of us, trying to think, not only make it an intellectual exercise, but trying to use our faculties to, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean for me? Not trying to feel how it relates to my journey. And when we reach the rooftop of that capacity, we can resort to prayer and asking the divine further insight. And then trying to stay some time in silence, trying to hear back what's the reply that is coming. And of course, another extra stage that sometimes is added is then embody that in some particular way of living. So I was thinking for today, what we can do is I invite you to read these two verses that I've just shared from Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to write again, the pages are in pages 59 and 125. They are the only quoted verses in those pages in italics. And go through those two in that order. Remember, the first one is speaking about the nature of love, ever increasing, ever evolving. And then the second one, feeling how, because of that, one feels I don't have love. But again, I'm trying to see what comes and how to relate to those sections properly. So we can spend that time in our silent, that do that lecture within our silent time from 5 to 6 today. And again, in the evening, we'll have Q&A. So I was thinking also, just to conclude, you can bring any questions you have on these topics, but also Anurad has shared with me some themes that you want to explore. I already had some themes in mind as well for the morning exploration starting from tomorrow morning. So I'll try to put this together, but also feel free to bring some of those themes in our evening Q&As. It's okay? Because I may have some ideas, and as you already know me by this time, I may get lost and found, and I may visit the tavern and difficult to leave there eventually. You may have to take me out drunk from there, and anyhow, what to do? So maybe some of these themes you have been thinking about and would like to explore, maybe we can bring those in the Q&A if they are not addressed during the morning's lectures. It's all interrelated, but my point is keep those in mind, those who have shared those themes, and feel free to bring those in the evening. Okay. 5 to 12. I'm a good boy, finishing on time. Okay, Sri Tirubhav Mahotsav Titi, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami Ki Jai, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai, Saint Francis Appearance Day Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Jai, Panchakalpataru Visakh, Vasindhu Vyaye Pachapati, Dhanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo.